But if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all?
Chapter 8. Fives staggers to a halt at the bottom of the stairs just as the wall swings shut. No! He snarls, slamming a fist against the stone, but it doesn't budge. The strange, colorless kyber crystal set into it shimmers, then goes dark, and Echo curses. He leaps down the last few steps, landing beside Fives, and comes to help him shove at the wall. If there's any sort of catch, any sort of secret lever, though, Fives can't see it. Criff! Echo mutters, and shoves shoulder first at it, slams the heel of his palm into the stone. Criff! John! There's no answer. There aren't even echoes. He didn't hear us, Fives says, and that has to be the explanation. It's the only one that makes sense. John's proved over and over that he won't leave them behind, even when it's dangerous for him. The idea that he'd just walk away or something. Right, Echo says, and his mouth has that same stubborn slant that Fives knows so well. Even if he was upset about the flower thing, he wouldn't just leave. It must be another trap. Fives tries not to let his worry show too clearly. Another trap that John wasn't able to avoid, didn't notice or couldn't fight against. And that's a bad sign. If he couldn't shake it, if it comes for them, it's going to take them a hell of a lot to avoid it. Reaching out, Fives taps two fingers against Echo's gauntlet. And when he turns, Fives holds out his hand with a raised brow and makes Echo pause, then snort. And without hesitation, he wraps his hand around Fives's, holds tightly. No wandering, he agrees, and looks back at the wall, frown flickering to life. When we find John, we should put a collar on him or something, Fives jokes. Kind of. He means it a little more than he probably should. Maybe that will keep him from disappearing on us. Echo swallows, glancing at him, and the slant of his thoughts is clear. They're definitely not just talking about keeping John out of trouble. Or, well, if they are, they're about keeping him out of trouble by making sure he's thoroughly occupied with other things. When Fives raises a brow, Echo huffs, looking vaguely guilty, but also mulish. Let's find him first, he says. Then we can talk about tying him up with him. Fives hesitates, glancing back up towards the workshop. He does want us, he says. And it's not quite a question, because the sense memory of John under his hands is a vivid thing, makes that same sort of desperate desire sink through his stomach, even outside the flower's influence. John pressed up into his kisses, clung to Echo, had to tear himself away from them. Even if some of that was the flowers, not all of it was. Echo takes a breath, turns his head. He pulls Fives against him, tucking his nose under Fives's ear, and Fives leans back into the familiar breadth of him, hooks a hand over his hip, and rests his temple against Echo's forehead. He does, Fives repeats, because Echo needs to hear it. Echo likes guidelines, likes regulations, likes to bend them, too, but he likes the structure of them. Fives is the one who's good at certainty and conviction. We need to find John before he gets hurt and make sure he knows that we want him back. I thought we made it pretty clear, Echo says a little dry. And Fives thinks of John, pressed between them, wanting, hungry, and grins. We can make it clearer, he says, maybe a little cocky, and shifts. Come on, think we can find another way into that room? Let's try, Echo says determinedly, and pulls away, though he keeps their hands locked together. John was saying these were all traps that needed cooperation to beat them, right? Fives goes to agree, then pauses. The last one wasn't, he points out after a moment, but he moves to help as Echo starts dragging touches over the wall. The kyber crystal, the stairs around them, looking for a hidden mechanism. The last one was emotion and control. John was being controlled, Echo says quietly. He must have been. He wouldn't have left us. He wouldn't, Fives agrees. And that, at least, he doesn't even hesitate to say. John trusts them. The arrow trap hallway proved that without a shadow of a doubt. John would have drowned himself, keeping them above the water in the water room, too. He cares about them a hell of a lot, even for a Jedi. Fives has seen some of the stunts General Skywalker has pulled, when Commander Tano or his droid or Senator Amidala are in danger. And he gets why all of them are valuable and need to be saved, but... Maybe it's because Fives is an Ark who serves with other generals when the need arises. Maybe it's because he's been privy to the planning in their missions, or lack thereof. Or just because he and Echo started off outside the 501st and got pulled in after Rishi, after losing droid bait and cut up and heavy. But sometimes it feels like General Skywalker doesn't see the clones under his command as men, just as soldiers. Disposable soldiers he can risk in the name of saving those closest to him. And no matter how much Fives likes General Skywalker as a person, as someone who shares tall tales about himself and laughs and is always down for a fight, sometimes it just rubs him the wrong way, that's all. Every time General Skywalker tells us that everything's absolutely fine, nothing to worry about, someone dies. He told John that, and it was halfway to a joke, but Fives meant it, too. Whether General Skywalker is just overconfident or whether he just doesn't care enough to be certain, he puts his men at risk, even when the chances of success are slim and the gain from victory is equally thin. John doesn't do that. In the closing hallway, in the water room, on the falling staircase, he risked himself to save them. And even the fact that he stopped in the middle of a vital mission to save Fives' life, the life of one clone when the fate of the Republic was at stake, well, Echo might be thinking about how to get John to stick around briefly once they're done here, but Fives is trying to figure out how to get John to take them with him when he goes. It makes sense. They're arcs. They move around between divisions and units as needed, so they're used to changing missions on short notice. And John needs them, more than just right now, if they can convince him to take them. Well, they've probably already been declared dead, or at least missing in action. It's a good way to go undercover, given how John is supposed to be dead too. Captain Rex will worry, but they can send him a message, let him know that not everything is as it seems. That they got tapped for something top secret, and then they can stay with John. That seems like the most important thing right now. Maybe there's another entrance, he suggests, after the second time they've tried coming down the stairs to see if they can trigger the trap themselves. Around the corner or something. Maybe, Echo allows, and his hand is still tight around Fives's, hasn't wavered. What if... What if this is the kind of thing only someone who's Force-sensitive would trigger? Makes sense, Fives says with a shrug, and tucks his helmet under his arm, switching on the lights. It feels weird wearing it when Echo has lost his own, even if Echo didn't mark his. We can find a way in, though, even if we have to blast through the wall or something. No blasting through the walls, Echo says, faintly pained. With our luck, we'd probably bring the whole temple down on us. Probably, Fives will admit. He still snorts. tugging Echo down the hall and left around the sharp corner. The hallway continues on for a few meters, then turns left again, and Fives slows, frowning. "It cuts right around the room John went into," he says. Echo is frowning too, and he rounds the next corner, then stops dead. "Criff," he says, dismayed. "What the hell is this supposed to be?" Fives asks, bewildered, as he stares out across a wide, high-ceilinged room with what can't be anything but a maze filling its expanse. There's sunlight and cold air and a door in the wall on the left that's standing open. A touch grimly, Fives looks at the open door, then over at Echo, only to find him looking back with resignation on his face. "John's probably somewhere in there," Echo says. "If something's controlling him, something that only works on Force sensitives, and it led him right through that room and out into the maze?" Fives thinks of John, wandering, dazed, confused, lost, out in the middle of that tangle of stone passageways, and something deep in his chest twists. "We need to find him. He can't have gotten that far. It's only been a few minutes." They wasted some time trying to get into the room or reactivate the trap, but they can move fast when they need to. Finding John will just be a matter of retracing his steps. Echo hesitates, though. He looks at the steps leading down to the entrance of the maze, and then at the tops of the walls that make it up, too narrow to stand on even for a Jedi. If they had their jetpacks, it would be one thing, but... Well, if they'd been wearing their jetpacks, they might never have met John at all. And Fives will take the almost fatal injury and this whole barrage of ridiculous traps over not meeting their ridiculous Jedi, honestly. "This is a trap for Force users," Echo says slowly, and glances down at their joined hands. "There were teamwork traps, and then the emotion trap. And this one, we're not Jedi. We're not even close." Fives can see where he's coming from, but at the same time, "The hallway led around the room," he points out. "And something that's been bothering him from the beginning resurfaces. The stair trap, with the gaps we had to cross, any Sith or Jedi could have gotten through easily." With a frown, Echo considers this. "John said it was to keep foot soldiers out," he says. "Anyone without a jetpack would have fallen or gotten stranded." "Yeah," Fives says in agreement and grins at him. "But a Jedi would have lifted their soldiers across, and the Sith would have left them behind." He can see the moment when Echo gets it, the way his eyes widen. "We're the way out," he says, and his hand tightens on Fives's. "We're the key. We're not Force-sensitive, so the trap won't get us." "Exactly," Fives says. And maybe he's wrong, but it makes sense. All the other traps needed at least a bit of Force-sensitivity to get through, so they were clearly built with Jedi in mind. But this last one, it never triggered, no matter what Fives and Echo did. It only caught John and drew him away and left them a clear path around the spot where he was taken. Why add an extra corridor if not to give a regular person a way around the trap? The Sith wouldn't have bothered to get regular soldiers like Fives and Echo this deep into the temple, even if they had managed to avoid all the other traps. There's no way they would have dragged a squad of normal people along with them, protected them from danger, kept them alive until they hit this trap. Only a Jedi would have done that. And a Jedi did. With a sound of relief, Echo leans over, grabbing Fives' chin and dragging him in. Fives goes with a laugh. The collision of their mouths is messy, rushed, relieved. Echo presses his thumb to Fives' tattoo, and Fives curls his hand around the back of Echo's neck. And when they finally break apart, Fives is breathing just a little too hard, his lips a little bruised. Echo is a good kisser. It's one of those things Fives would object to more if he didn't benefit from it so much. "Criff, you do have a brain," Echo says, but he's smiling, and the warmth in his eyes is a familiar, fond thing. Fives elbows him hard in the side, right below his belt. A better one than you, since I don't just use mine for backtalk and picking fights, he says. Echo huffs like that's not the absolute truth. I don't pick fights, he lies. It's blatantly a lie. Echo picks fights with anyone he thinks is in the wrong, and doesn't even hesitate. Come on, how about we go show off your big brain to our Jedi? He'll probably be very impressed. As long as John's okay, everything will be fine, Fives tells himself, and smirks at Echo. Impressed enough to lose his clothes again? From the look on Echo's face, he's remembering precisely what John looked like when he stripped down. All the scars and the broad shoulders and the muscle. Fives looked too. John is a big man, and he's not precisely handsome, with his strange pale eyes and his crooked nose. But he's unfairly attractive, even so. Fives kind of wants to pin John in between himself and Echo, see how much John can take, see how much he wants that they can give him, and hopefully it's everything. Fives really, really hopes he wants everything. Come on, he says, amused, and hip-checks Echo forward toward the stairs. Time to go get lost in a maze. You got any string with you or something? Echo pauses, giving the maze a speculative look, and then glances back up the corridor. What do you want to bet there are shards of kyber crystal up in that workshop? He asks. They should be plenty bright enough for us to notice if we drop them behind us. Guess I'm not the only one with a brain, Fives says, grinning. Sounds good to me. I've been thinking, Fives says, dropping a shard of crystal at the edge of the next opening. Oh no, Echo says, deadpan. Fives punches him in the shoulder, then benevolently decides to ignore that and forges on. I've been thinking the war's going to be over at some point. Probably soon if John can get the lightsaber he needs and kill the Sith. Echo raises a brow at him, but doesn't stop walking. Steps careful on the stone. It's inlaid with patterns of white and green, swirls and branching fractals. And Fives doesn't trust it at all. There are probably dozens of traps waiting to be sprung. They just haven't had enough bad luck to hit them yet. The war won't end for a while, even after that, Echo says. There's something quiet and tired in his voice that means he's thinking about droid bait and cut up and heavy. But maybe people will be willing to talk if all the leaders are gone. Yeah, Fives doesn't let himself dwell on the sight of droid bait, sprawled still on the ground, just one more casualty in an attack, just one more number recorded. It feels fitting that when Heavy blew up the base, droid bait went up with him. Not a planned pyre, but droid bait would have approved. He loved Heavy. But, Fives says, and drops another crystal, when Echo makes a right turn. Afterward, there will be a lot of clones, and the Republic probably won't want to keep feeding us. Echo grimaces. We'll be lucky if they keep feeding us 10 minutes after a peace treaty is signed, he says, wry, because they've both been on Coruscant, have both dealt with senators. When planets are threatened, the senators are more than happy to throw clones at the problem. But as soon as the threat is gone, they're back to credit pinching. Most of us will stick with the Jedi, Fives says, and knows he's right without even having to think about it. They were made for the Jedi. The Jedi are theirs. He can't even begin to imagine Lightning Squadron leaving General Windu or the Scuba Troopers leaving General Fisto. Even after the fighting is over, they'll have to pry Commander Cody away from General Kenobi with a crowbar. But the Jedi can't just take on a couple million people without warning. You've really been thinking about this, Echo observes, and scowls at the dead end that suddenly looms in front of them. Criff. With a grimace, Fives backtracks, picking up the crystal he dropped and taking the left turn instead. Of course I have. Haven't you? We're all Mandalorian. Maybe some of us will retire and start farms or something, but most of us are going to keep fighting. And so many Jedi have died that they're going to need a hell of a lot of help to go back to normal. I always just assumed we'd stay with the Jedi, Echo admits, tipping one shoulder in a shrug. At the next turn, he pauses, and Fives goes quiet for a moment as they both listen. But if there's any sign of John, they can't hear it. But there are only a few thousand Jedi, Fives points out. If we all try to stay and the Republic stops helping, they won't have any way to feed us or anywhere to put us. Yeah, Echo says, a little grim. At the next branching path, he sidesteps one of the crystals they previously dropped, takes the corridor it doesn't mark instead with steady steps. So what's your point? Fives opens his mouth with the answer, then stops. Echo almost crashes into him, but before he can protest, Fives grabs his arm and points down the narrow hall. There's a comm unit on the ground, light blinking, and it's far too new to fit with this ancient temple. That's John's, he says. It has to be. Echo curses, picking it up, then glances towards the ceiling. It's getting a signal, he says, hesitates, and no, Fives says quietly. He said it's not safe. Echo grimaces, but slides the comm into one of his belt pouches. I know, he says. I wouldn't have. Gently, Fives bumps their pauldrons together. I know. Just reminding you before that big brain ran away with you. Echo rolls his eyes, but he's smiling a little. Whoever John's working with, I hope they don't need him immediately, he says, and glances ahead of them. We must be getting closer, though. Crystal's holding? Fives checks the bag. So far, half left. And he understands Echo's urge to call for help, to calm the generals and get them down here. But the urge to trust John is stronger. He's already trusted them with himself so many times, in ways Jedi usually don't. And Fives just wants to hold that trust, wants to keep it. More than his fear that they won't find John, more than his worry about this mission, more than his regret for leaving the rest of Torrent to think they're dead, he wants to have faith. Maybe it's not faith in the Force like John has, but it's faith in John, and surely that's the next best thing. Good. Echo curls a hand around his wrist, gripping for a moment, and says, I wouldn't have calmed anyone. Of course not. Five says, and knows that immediately and without hesitation. You trust him, too. He saved you. Echo's voice is raw, and he tightens his grip, meets Fives' eyes. I thought you were dead, Fives. I thought no one was coming, and I was going to have to sit there and watch you bleed out. They hadn't even been the ones to set off the mine. A battle droid fell into the crater as they were dealing with a couple of spider droids, had tripped right over the charge and blown them all to hell. Fives had felt his armor give way, had felt the hit, had felt them fall, and the last thing he'd heard was Echo yelling his name. And then John, curled over him, pale eyes and dark hair and hands that were so hot they burned, putting him back together. Fives is just another clone. He's a man, not a number, but there are millions of clones, and they're just soldiers. The Jedi do what they can to keep them safe, but John paused a mission that could save the galaxy, put it at risk just so he could save Fives' life. That's a hell of a lot to wrap his head around, honestly. You didn't, Fives says, and meets Echo's eyes. You didn't have to. No, Echo agrees, and his smile is crooked. Because of John, so let's go save him back. The Force would make this easier, Fives says, though he hardly means the complaint. When Echo follows the turn of the path, he marks it, then hurries to keep up, skimming his hand along the wall. Is it just me, or is this place getting darker? It's not just you, Echo says, and glances upwards, expression slanting towards grim. I think the sun's going down. And then they'll be stuck, wandering this maze in the pitch dark, with only Fives' helmet lights and the vague hope of finding John to go on. Fives pulls a face, looking up at the distant ceiling, just as he reaches the next corner. Under his hand, something clicks. Fives has just long enough to feel a flare of deep-seated horror, a wash of resignation, and then the wall he's leaning on moves. The whole section of it tilts, perfectly silent, and spins. And it knocks Fives right through the gap it makes and out the other side as he yelps. Fives! Echo says loudly, alarmed and annoyed in equal measure, as Fives hits the far wall and bounces off. Behind him, the wall clicks closed, and Fives can hear Echo banging at it, worried and frustrated. There's not anything actually wrong, though. Fives straightens slowly, blinking at the perfectly normal section of the maze he's standing in. Instead of green and white tiles on the floor, there are bronze and blue, which he hasn't seen before. But there doesn't seem to be any other sort of difference. I'm fine, Echo, Fives says, pitch to carry. It was the stone below the one with the scuff on it, at elbow height. There's a pause, then a rough breath, and a moment later a click. The wall spins and Echo ducks through before the back half of the wall can knock him off his feet. He leaves it to spin shut, grabbing Fives' arm, and Fives leans in first, bumps their foreheads together in a brief Keldaba kiss, then straightens. I think it's a different route, he says, pointing at the tiles. Some sort of alternate path you can only get to if you know the trick. Echo frowns, crouching to press his fingers to the tiles. We're not trying to find a new route, though, he says. Just John. Yeah, but once we do find him, we're gonna need a way out, Fives says, and approaches the swinging wall. He finds the right brick after a moment, pressing it, and Echo catches his arm and pulls him back through as it swings out. The wall clicks closed, and all around them stone rumbles. Criff, Echo says in dismay, and Fives grabs his hand, hauls him back, and ducks just as the wall ahead of them moves like a vast piece in a jigsaw, sliding sideways with a grinding roar. It sails through a gap that opens, slams into another piece, and goes still, just as two more sections of wall turn sharply, rotating and thudding together. All around them, stone is shaking, the maze is rearranging, and Fives thinks of John left on his own, wandering under some sort of outside control, not able to get out of the way, and wants to scream. And then, with one last thundering slide, the maze goes still. Carking hell, Fives says, straightening, and it feels like his heart is lodged in his throat. What was that? Ahead of them, in the growing darkness, a colorless crystal flickers, set into the floor. Nothing good, Echo says grimly, and glances back and forth. That's a long hallway without any turns for this to still be a maze. Fives eyes the wall, which is at least 4 meters tall and narrows down to a fine point, and surrenders the momentary thought of climbing up to look. There was a crystal like it back at the end of the stairs, he points out. Right when John disappeared, he caught a glimpse of it glowing, but it didn't seem to do anything, at least not to them. We haven't passed any others, though. Why would the maze lead us to John, though? Echo asks, suspicious, even as he starts forward. Fives flanks him, keeping half his attention on the crystal and his other on the walls around them. If another change is coming, he wants to know in plenty of time to get out of the way. Maybe it's not, Fives says, Maybe the crystals are like cardinal points, and it rearranges around those. And us moving the wall triggered it? Echo offers, and pauses by the crystal, crouching down to look at it. It's set into a plain white tile, perfectly unremarkable, entirely colorless, but Fives doesn't trust it. He takes two steps past Echo, wanting to put both hands on his blaster and a flicker of a dark cloak just rounding the corner. Echo, he says, and bolts. There's a curse behind him, but a moment later, Echo catches up, following him at a dead run, and around the corner and into another twisting section. There are no other openings, though, no other passages, and Fives twists through the narrow turns, leaps down a short flight of steps, and emerges into another long corridor set with colorless crystals every few meters. John is halfway down it, moving like he's marching, hood up and cloak flaring around him. He's walking in the exact center of the hallway, every step robotically perfect. And Fives breathes a curse and runs for him, Echo right behind him. John, he calls loudly. John, wake up! One of the crystals flickers as John passes it, the light washing over him for a brief instant before it falls back into darkness. Criff, John hisses and lunges, gets one hand in the back of John's cloak and drags him to a stop. The hiss and hum of a lightsaber igniting is loud enough to freeze Fives' blood, and a glowing purple blade sweeps down right at his hand.